Our New Testament lesson is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Hear now God's word. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. There's a story about a little boy who went with his parents every year at Christmas to visit his aunt and uncle who lived way out in the country. And the boy dreaded the trip. When his mother told him it was time to go, he lamented to her, "But Mom, all they ever give me for Christmas is clothes. Last year it was a shirt, and the year before that it was socks. They never give me any toys." His mother thought for a moment and then said, "Well, you know, your aunt and uncle love you very much, and their gift to you is from the heart. But if you find it hard to appreciate their gift, then just pretend that whatever clothing they give you is really the greatest toy you can imagine. That way, when you say thank you for the gift, you might at least have a smile on your face." So off they went to visit the little boy's aunt and uncle. The time came to exchange gifts, and the little boy's aunt handed him a beautifully wrapped box. And he opened it slowly, trying to buy some time while he thought of the most wonderful toy imaginable. And as he was opening the box, he remembered seeing a commercial on television showing a toy rocket ship being fired high up into the air from a lit fuse attached to its launch pad. Well, finally the box was open, and there before him rested a red tie with hundreds of little white and blue polka dots. Much to the relief of his mother, the boy had a broad smile on his face, and he looked up at his aunt with all the love his eyes could muster, and exclaimed to her, "Thank you for this wonderful gift." And before his aunt could respond, the little boy went just a bit further than he had intended and blurted out, "I can't wait to take it out to a field and light a match to it." Well, I hope the gifts you received for Christmas were not like that. In fact, if I were to ask you what you did get for Christmas, I would suspect your eyes would widen and a smile would come across your face, and you would tell me about some gift that had great meaning and significance for you. It might be a beautiful piece of jewelry or some new tool, or it might be the gift of being with family. But as your pastor, none of those things, as wonderful as they are, express the answer I'd be looking for. Because you see, the gifts of Christmas I have in mind have much greater value than anything that might be wrapped in pretty paper and placed under a tree. The gift of Christmas I have in mind are the gifts the Apostle Paul talks about in his letter to the church in Galatia, which we read about this morning. Nowhere in any of Paul's letters Does he seem to know the kind of details about Jesus' birth that Matthew and Luke know? But in his letter to the Galatian Christians, he does talk about the gifts we receive as a result of God sending his son to be born of a woman. First, he tells us that because God sent his son into the world, we are no longer slaves, but free. But it's not just any kind of freedom that we receive. It is freedom, specifically, he says, from the burden of the law. You see, for centuries, the only way God's people had to stay close to God and remain under God's care and protection was the law of Moses. Hundreds of laws that governed every aspect of daily living. You and I are most familiar with the Ten Commandments, but they were only the tip of the iceberg. Hebrew law was so detailed that it even told you by weight how much grain you could pick up in your hand on the Sabbath. God's people believed that to break even one of the laws of Moses was to risk losing their special relationship with God. Apparently, the Christians in Galatia had adopted that same view, as many of them had been Jews and perhaps still thought of themselves that way. Forgetting the gift of freedom from the law which Christ's birth had inaugurated. In Christ, says Paul, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law. Now, what does this gift of freedom from the law actually mean for you and me? Well, it means this. We have a relationship with God, not because of how good we try to be, although we should certainly try to be good. We have a relationship with God because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. In sending his son, God has opened the door to his love and grace and forgiveness. And one other thing I want to talk about in a minute. But for now, suffice it to say that freedom from the law is not freedom to sin, but freedom to live in a relationship with our Creator God, not defined by guilt or fear, but by joy and happiness. Think about it this way, and I use this illustration with the children. Suppose your best friend came by one day with a special gift for you. How would you respond? Would you immediately pull out your purse or wallet for some money to help pay for the gift? Of course not. To do so would be a great insult. Well, so it is with our relationship with God. God offers us this relationship as a gift. Any attempt on our part, no matter how great or small, to pay for this relationship by attempting to earn it through our good or right behavior is to make our relationship with God into something other than a gift. No one in heaven will be able to say, "Look at me. I made it." Salvation is all by God. Not even the smallest part of it is the result of what we do or do not do. That's what Paul means when he invites us to receive the gift of freedom from the law and no longer be slaves to it. But there's another gift God has given to us this Christmas, which has lasting value. Paul tells us that God has made us heirs with Christ. You and I are in the will. We will be recipients of the glory that is to come in the final advent of God's kingdom. We will be participants in God's future. In short, we will know everlasting life. Think what that means, friends, for the lives we now live. The heartache, the pain, the loneliness, the fear, all of that is fleeting because we are promised to receive the fullness of life, abundant and eternal. Noted Presbyterian pastor and author Hugh Eichelberger once wrote, "Thus we have been liberated from the oppression of living meaningless lives that are disconnected from any lasting significance. We," he said, "have been set free from the consequences of our own sordid, failed history. All who felt like nobodies are now somebodies, men and women who were convinced by their personal history that they were worthless and unlovable now are assured that they are valuable and loved. For the first time, we hear who we really are. In Christ, we receive a new history and a new future." When the great scientist Sir Michael Faraday was dying, some journalists questioned him about his speculations for life after death. He purportedly replied, "Speculations? I know nothing about speculations. I'm resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because he lives, I shall live also." This assurance is the ultimate gift given to us because the Son of God was born to a woman. To know that we are heirs with Christ of eternal life is the best Christmas present we could ever receive. That great hymn writer Isaac Watts once penned these words, "Behold the amazing gift of love the Father hath bestowed on us, the sinful sons of men, to call us sons of God. Concealed as yet this honor lies, by this dark world unknown, a world that knew not when he came, even God's eternal Son. High is the rank we now possess, but higher we shall rise, though what we shall hereafter be is hid from mortal eyes. Our souls we know when he appears shall bear his image bright, for all his glory, full disclosed, shall open to our sight." The gift of freedom from having to earn God's love, which is in itself a free gift, and the gift of being heirs with Christ of eternal and abundant life, are the gifts I pray you discovered anew this Christmas. And if you have, then I challenge you to live your life as one who has received these gifts. Live your life as one who knows you have been forgiven, healed, and restored to a right relationship with God, not from your own doing, but from God's. Live your life as one who knows that death has been swallowed up in victory and you are now on the road to eternal life with Christ by your side. If you will live your life like that, it will become obvious to you and to everyone around you. No longer will you be controlled by your fears and anxieties. No longer will you be held captive by your pain and your sorrow. Your life will reflect these special gifts of God. You will begin to live every day to the fullest and to the glory of God. You will share these gifts of God with everyone you encounter by how you treat them and how you respond to their needs. There is no way that you can claim to accept these free gifts of God and not experience a positive and lasting effect on your life. Stories told about W.E. Sangster, who preached to large crowds in the Methodist Central Hall in London. He tells in one of his books about going to preach one evening and stepping up into a doorway to await the passing of a shower. Another man was there, and Sangster told him who he was and where he was going and invited this man to come to the service. Well, the invitation was accepted. And that night, this stranger was soundly converted and gave his heart to Christ. In the years that followed, as they came to know each other better, this man would sometimes say to Sangster, "Imagine stepping out of the rain for a moment and having your life completely changed." Christ has been born. May Christ be born anew in your life. And as a result, may your life be completely changed. Let us pray. O God of all life, we thank you for these special gifts of life which make it possible for us to know life abundant. Open our hearts to receive these gifts, that we might live every day for your kingdom. Amen.